Well, what also is somewhat tragic, ironic, and frightening is if we are in some kind of cyclical pattern with these underwater earthquakes now that could create tsunamis, they could occur now at just about any time.
Well, if the vision's in the mirror world, you know, because, I mean, I watch this other world, which is opposite to us, you know, and we exist in another world simultaneously. It's almost as if it's, we're in a spirit world while still alive, and that we're in an afterlife while still alive. And in that world, there's a host of anomalies, like literally on the edge of happening. Two of them, which I've just written, but I haven't posted to my site, a major, major earthquake in Japan and a major, major tsunami-type earthquake in Spain.
In terms of time period, when might they occur?
Well, they're so close. I mean, they're so close. But in this other place, George, there are sort of two timelines that sort of are like sort of hovering next to each other. And it's only when they actually cross can you nail that something is about to happen in a couple of days. And just before they cross, and you can nail it in our terms of like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, so to speak, then you know it's there. And then just before something happens, then the visions go completely ballistic. And you might see 10 tsunami visions in a day. And that's what happened to me in Seattle.
When the tsunami vision came and went, and when that date came and went and nothing happened, what did you say to yourself? Because, you know, we talked prior to, but we never talked afterwards. And I'm just wondering if you, of course,
naturally I was completely relieved because, you know, I love Seattle. It's one of my favorite cities. And I wouldn't want for even one single person to sort of, you know, break a fingernail, you know, in a disaster of any kind. But from a personal point of view, I was sort of very mixed emotions because I haven't made a huge amount of mistakes, George, over the years, you know. And then having made that mistake or having had these visions that didn't come through, then of course I went through a dark night of the soul. And in a way, it was incredibly good for me because after a couple of days, I got over it. And you know, I'm sort of humbled by the fact that I can't nail things on the dots. You know,
the fact though that the Seattle prediction did not happen, does that mean it never will?
Well, that's something that I've absolutely racked my brains about because I don't know if the whole thing was like was sold to me as a fake, so to speak, you know, because there are beings, there are energies in there that feed these visions through. They don't just spontaneously. I mean, sometimes things are sort of in the air, and so they're in people's minds, and psychics pick up on it and they write, you know. But it's like a collective idea that many people believe a tsunami will happen, or a collective idea that many people believe the stock market is about to tumble or whatever. But this other stuff comes through from a source. I mean, it isn't independent, you know. I mean, all information in the universe is organized in its sort of disorganized way. So I suddenly thought, my God, I got let down, you know. So I was devastated in a way. And then, of course, it wasn't devastating because I don't want...
I understand.
Yeah.
What's
I've nailed a big one since, George. In May this year, I posted a vision on my site saying that the British Home Secretary, David Blunkett, would be caught in a scandal and would resign. He's like sort of the interior minister in England, and, you know, he's sort of police forces, local government, security, that sort of stuff.
Ah.
And he went 2 days ago. Big scandal. A big scandal. There was a scandal in August where he was having an affair with another man's wife, but two or three days ago he resigned because he was caught fiddling some paperwork for his ex-lover's nanny. Actually, very similar to that man, Kirk, who was...
Kirk, yeah.
Yeah,
who was put up as
the home... Exactly the same, because he was done sort of, you know, with sort of some sort of undocumented alien that worked for him, and Blunkett. David Blunkett was caught in the same one, so I actually nailed that one down. So my little sort of esteem was restored slightly.
Well, what is it about these entities that kind of help you out? Why do they do this?
They help us all out, George. They're everywhere. Well, just as much as there are millions upon 10 millions of trillions of sort of demonic entities in every square mile of any city, there are also these angelic forces that want you to, you know, that want you to evolve. They want you to stay strong. Oh, we've had them perform medical operations on us and stuff, you know. It's sort of, you can align to whichever side of the equation you want to align to, you know.
You said that there were some entities, though, that could trick you, play games. What's their motivation for that?
Oh, mischief, mischief. You know, there's a whole set of demonic entities that are specifically there to sort of undermine your psychology. So if you get a great idea, they'll start to try, because they can talk to your mind directly and make you think it's your own thoughts. And so they can undermine your psychology with self-doubt and so on. They can position other humans to block you, to make sure that you don't move forward. They're endlessly clever, endlessly clever. I mean, I call them the ghouls, because there's 25 different varieties that I know of, and then there would be maybe 100,000 I've never seen.